with Just a Chat. Of course, we have a beautiful guest up in the studio for that program. You can listen to us on www.von.gov.ng. It's the English service of Voice of Nigeria. Time now for the world news. It's 8 hours GMT. Hello and welcome to the World News at 8 hours GMT on Voice of Nigeria. You can also listen to us on www.von.gov.ng. Nigeria's President Bola Ahmed Tinubu has called on Nigerians to actively and intentionally patronize made-in-Nigeria products and services across all value chains to sustain the current momentum and strengthening the Nigerian currency. The president's spokesperson, Ajuri Ingilali, made this known while briefing State House correspondents on the efforts of President Tinubu's administration to strengthen Nigeria's currency and enhance the purchasing power of the Nigerian currency. Ingilali said that President Tinubu has put in place collaboration with the Central Bank of Nigeria and other agencies of government with several intervention measures in dealing decisively with sharp practices on cryptocurrency trading platforms and within the parallel market of the foreign exchange ecosystem.
We are going to continue to aggressively deal with every encumbrance, every shop practice within the nation's foreign exchange market under the leadership of the president. And every measure is being put in place to ensure that the momentum we are now seeing is sustained.
The presidential spokesperson urged members of the public to communicate with appropriate agencies whenever sharp practices are observed in the FX markets. The president of the Nigerian Senate, Godswill Akpabio, has arrived in Geneva, Switzerland, as head of the country's delegation to the 148th Assembly of the Inter-Parliamentary Union in Geneva, Switzerland. The Inter-Parliamentary Union, global organization of national parliaments, is dedicated to promoting peace through parliamentary diplomacy and dialogue with the 179 member countries out of the 193 countries of the world. This year's edition, according to a statement by the Special Assistant on Media to the Senate President Jackson Odom, will take place from 23rd to 27th of March 2024. The Armed Forces of Nigeria has been commended for their heroic sacrifice, patriotism and relentless efforts to secure the nation from banditry, insurgency and other criminal acts. Minister of Defense Muhammad Badru gave the commendation when he addressed the officers and men of one division of Nigerian Army in Kaduna, northwest Nigeria. Badru, in a statement, charged the troops not to relent on their resolve to free Nigeria from all forms of insecurity. Still on security matters, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Ambassador Yusuf Tugar, has described the killing of military personnel in Okwama community in Delta State, southern Nigeria, on the 16th of March 2024 as a national tragedy. Ambassador Tugar made the assertion during a visit by the Chief of Defense Staff, General Christopher Musa, who led a delegation of top military brass to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Abuja. Ambassador Tugar prayed for the repose of the souls of the deceased and implored the relevant authorities to bring the perpetrators of the tragic act to justice. Also, troops of multinational joint task force MNJTF have been charged to maintain the highest standards during operations to adhere to the code of conduct and uphold the honor.
Rhythm of love from Nigeria, the country that defines the future of Africa. Voice of Nigeria, your authoritative choice.
Now moving on, the federal government and the Nigeria Sovereign Investment Authority, NSIA, has signed a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, signed that aimed at establishing 6 state-of-the-art oncology centers across the country. The Coordinating Minister of Health and Social Welfare, Professor Ali Pati, said the signing of the MOU marked a significant milestone in Nigeria's efforts to improve cancer care and treatment accessibility for its citizens. Professor Pati, who spoke during the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding between the Ministry, the NSIA, and the 6 Federal University Teaching Hospitals, emphasized that NSIA's involvement in the oncology initiative was imperative due to the project's stagnation 4 years ago, which could no longer be tolerated given the current volatile local and global inflationary trends. And Nigeria's Senate President Godswill Akpabio has arrived. Well, moving on, the armed forces of Nigeria have been commended for their heroic sacrifice, patriotism, and relentless efforts to secure the nation from banditry, insurgency, and criminal acts. Minister of Defense Muhammad Badru gave the commendation when he addressed the officers and men of 1 Division of the Nigerian Army, Kaduna, Northwest Nigeria. The governments of Nigeria and the United States of America have expressed interest in enhancing educational and cultural ties between both nations, including commitment to mutual understanding, cooperation, and progress. This was established when the Nigerian Minister of Education, Professor Tahir Mambang, received a delegation from the United States of America, led by the Assistant Secretary of State for Educational and Cultural Affairs, Lee Satterfield, to his office. Professor Mambang underscored the significance of the partnership in advancing bilateral interests and strengthening diplomatic ties. While expressing her appreciation for the opportunity to collaborate with the Federal Minister of Education, Ms. Satterfield said the purpose of the visit was to foster collaboration in the fields of education and culture, particularly in television and filmmaking. Senegal's former president, Abdoulaye Wade, and the Senegalese Democratic Party, PDS, endorsed opposition candidate Bassirou Diomaye Faye in a boost to Faye's chances of winning Sunday's presidential election. The move came after Wade's son, Karim Wade, was disqualified from contesting the race for the PDS because he was a dual citizen at the time he submitted his candidacy. He has been in the process of renouncing his French citizenship. Mr. Faye, also only released from prison last week is seen by analysts as one of the most serious challenges to the party of outgoing President Macky Sall in a field of 19 candidates. President Sall has been in power since 2012. The Tunisia public prosecutors detained prominent journalist Mohamed Bougalib on suspicion of insulting a public official, which the journalists' union said was aimed at silencing the voices of journalists. The detention of Bougalib, who has been a critic of President Kais Saied, reinforces activists' fears that the government was increasingly restricting freedoms ahead of the presidential election expected this year. Since Tunisia's 2011 revolution, press freedom has been a key gain for Tunisians, and its media has become one of the most open of any Arab state. However, politicians, journalists, and unions say that freedom of the press faces a serious threat under the rule of Saied, who came into power in 2019 in free election and who has rejected such accusations, saying he will not become a dictator. And Spain has agreed with the leaders of Ireland, Malta, and Slovenia to take the first steps towards recognizing a Palestinian state, Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez said. This comes following a meeting of the European Council in Brussels. Speaking for Spain, Sanchez expected the recognition to happen during the current 4-year legislature that began last year. Sanchez said the agreement was reached after meeting with his Irish, Maltese, and Slovenian counterparts on the sidelines of the council gathering. Meanwhile, Arab states and the European Union agreed at a meeting in Spain in November that the two-state solution was the answer to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. And the United Nations says more than 33,000 people have fled Port-au-Prince this month as the Haitian capital was overrun by well-armed gangs, triggering political chaos in the Caribbean nation. The UN's International Organization for Migration, IOM, said in a statement that gang attacks and generalized insecurity are pushing more people to leave the capital to find refuge in provinces, taking the risk of passing through gangs-controlled routes. IOM further said that provinces do not have sufficient infrastructure and host communities do not have sufficient resources that can enable them to cope with the massive displacement flows from the capital. And that's it on the World News. I'll be right back with news about Nigeria. Don't go away.
IT here and there, we don't want it at all. Killing people today, tomorrow, we don't want it at all. And we don't want separation. You do your own, I do my own. Make you go. No. We don't want that one.
We may quarrel and disagree, but let it be on the table of dialogue.
No blood, chaos, war, violence.
Let us stand with our nation as one people.
And we must also stand for the armed forces.
They are our husbands and wives. They are our brothers and sisters.
Please support the armed forces,
whose lives are always on the front line to protect our nation. Nigeria is your own. Nigeria is mine. Nigeria is our own.
Our uniqueness is in our oneness.
Our oneness is our strength.
Welcome back. This is news about Nigeria. Nigerians have been assured of a commitment to deliver President Bola Tinubu's key priority of growing the gross domestic product, GDP of the country, for sustainable economic and infrastructural development through the steel sector. Minister of Steel Development, Shuaibu Audu, gave the assurance while delivering his keynote address at a two-day ministerial management retreat held in Abuja, Nigeria. He said that President Bola Tinubu's administration has shown willingness to address the protracted challenges facing the steel industry. The NADRA Governors Forum, NGF, has demanded major reforms to the nation's security architecture and crackdown on illegal international adoption rackets involving the Nigerian child. The governors also highlighted critical need to amend the 1999 Constitution for the establishment of state policing forces. The Nigerian governors, who disclosed this during a virtual meeting, said these resolutions will correct a fundamental flaw in the current national security system. The forum's chairman, Abdurrahman Abdurrazak, said the governors highlighted the need for state policing as a critical amendment in the ongoing 1999 constitutional amendment proceedings to correct a fundamental flaw in the national security architecture. And Nigeria's Minister of Communications, Innovation and Digital Economy, Dr. Bosun Tijani, has set up a five-man ministerial committee to review operational conditions and propose fiscal measures to cushion the impact of macroeconomic pressures on telecommunications operators in Nigeria. The ministerial committee, with the 6-point terms of reference, is set up to address issues faced by telecommunications companies in the process of delivering quality service to end. Set up a five-man ministerial committee to review operational conditions and propose fiscal measures to cushion the impact of macroeconomic pressures on telecommunications operators in Nigeria. The ministerial committee, with the 6-point terms of reference, is set up to address issues faced by telecommunications companies in the process of delivering quality service. So, Professor Nentawe Yilwada says there is an urgent need for a multifaceted strategy to address insecurity in Nigeria, and this can only be achieved through the deployment of technology. In an interview with journalists in Abuja, Professor Yilwada said geospatial data has the potential to tackle insecurity in the country. He said conversations of criminals can be tracked using advanced telecommunications systems. He called for the development of policies to track telephone records, filter the data, and track communication and discussions. Finally, in a show of solidarity, the Guild of Medical Directors has paid a visit to Dr. Christopher Otabo, the Managing Director of Alliance Hospital, to commend his commitment to reversing medical tourism in Nigeria. Led by the Chairman of the Guild of Medical Directors, FCT Chapter, Dr. Kingsley Isheko, the delegation expressed unwavering support for hospital management and its efforts to save lives through the provision of quality healthcare services. Dr. Isheko lauded Alliance Hospital for its dedication to improving healthcare standards in Nigeria. Responding, the Managing Director of Alliance Hospital, Dr. Christopher Otabo, highlighted the economic impact of medical tourism and the consequential brain drain on Nigeria's healthcare system. And that's it on the World News. My name is Jude Kankara. Up next is Issues, Business Weekly, rather, right after this timeout. Don't go away. On Nigeria's healthcare system. And that's it on the World News. My name is Jude Kankara. Up next is Issues, Business Weekly, rather, right after this timeout. Don't go away. Nigeria's healthcare system. And that's it on the World News. My name is Jude Kankara. Up next is Issues, Business Weekly, rather, right after this timeout. Don't go away.
Business Weekly is a program which reviews major economic activities that took place during the week. I'm Mazino Dixon. Welcome. This week in the program, the Nigerian government made lots of efforts to boost its economy through various sectors such as agriculture, digital economy, and skill development. The government, while making these efforts, said prioritizing whatever offers Nigerians a means to earn a living with dignity is part of President Bola Tinubu's 8-point agenda. Nigeria's Vice President Kashim Shettima stated this at the meeting of the National Economic Council for the month of March 2024, which was held virtually. State House correspondent Timothy Choji, who monitored proceedings, now completes the story.
The meeting of the National Economic Council, chaired by the Vice President, is a monthly gathering of the 36 state governors, including the Minister of Finance and his budget and economic planning counterpart. The Council has a mandate of reviewing the economic situation in the country in order to advise the President on how to improve or address challenges that might threaten the nation's economy. Addressing the gathering, the Vice President said government will continue to ensure Nigerian citizens acquire relevant skills that meet the needs of the global market in order to benefit from opportunities that come their way.
Our actions today will shape the economic landscape of tomorrow. When we empower entrepreneurs and small business owners, we unlock the potentials for innovation, job creation, and economic growth. By providing access to financing, training, and mentorship programs, we unleash the entrepreneurial spirit that lies within every Nigerian, catalyzing a web of economic prosperity that benefits us all. This is the ladder we must offer to every disadvantaged citizen.
He therefore called on those occupying leadership positions to use their good offices to make life better for the people, especially now that there are difficulties.
We have come at a time that tests the depth of our leadership and demands our most rational wisdom to make a difference. We must remain consistent in implementing the initiatives that alleviate the suffering of our citizens and be accountable in doing so. We must also ensure that interventions we deploy are non-discriminatory, with no part of our communities or nation lagging behind.
He urged members of the council to continue to harmonize experiences and ideas among themselves for the benefit of all Nigerians. From the presidential villa in Abuja, I am Timothy Choji, reporting for Voice of Nigeria.
In a bid to create jobs, reduce poverty, and strengthen its economy, Nigeria during the week inaugurated its Council on Skills Development with the aim of providing the requisite skills for the nation's youth in various sectors. Vice President Kashim Shettima inaugurated the council at the presidential villa in Abuja. Again, State House correspondent Timothy Choji completes the story.
Performing the inauguration, Vice President Kashim Shettima, who is also the chairman of the council, underscored the objectives of the council to the development of Nigeria. He said the council has been put in place to transfer skills to unemployed Nigerians as well as enable them compete favorably with their contemporaries across the world.
The National Council on Skills has emerged as a pivotal force in providing policy direction, plans and strategies to enhance the efficiency of Nigeria's skills ecosystem. This council has set out to guide our understanding of the needs of our people and the opportunities they seek to earn a dignified living and compete on a global scale.
Speaking to State House correspondents soon after the inaugural meeting of the council, Minister of Education Professor Tahir Mamman said the council comprises of members from both the public and private sectors. Professor Mamman disclosed that the council is saddled with the responsibility of ensuring that youth across Nigeria, especially the unemployed, are equipped with the needed skills to perform in various sectors as they contribute their quota to national development.
Is one of the most important windows through which we can provide them with a livelihood where they can have a way of providing for themselves and engage with the economy.
Commenting on behalf of the private sector, senior advisor to the group leader of Dangote Group of Companies, Mrs. Fatima Wali Abdurrahman, said the private sector is willing to contribute towards addressing unemployment. From the presidential villa in Abuja, I am Timothy Choji reporting for Voice of Nigeria.
Still on revamping the economy through the agriculture sector, Nigeria's Minister of Finance, Wale Edun, says the process for the establishment of special agricultural processing zones has been completed and disbursements have commenced. Mr. Edun disclosed this while briefing State House correspondents at the end of this month's meeting of the National Economic Council chaired by Vice President Kashim Shettima. He said when finally established, the zones will help boost the processing of agricultural products in the country.
There was a report on the all-important special agro-industrial processing zones, SAPZs as we call them. This is the key to agricultural rejuvenation and making sure that we get the most out of the agricultural value chain. The process for establishing SAPZs has been completed. Disbursement has started. 27 states have expressed interest, and of course some of them have already started implementing their special agricultural processing zones. In terms of what should be done by the various ministries, Ministry of Finance, Ministry of Agriculture, His Excellency the Vice President was happy with the progress that is being made, but given the importance, the critical importance of this project for food security, for job creation, and for helping youths and women in particular, he emphasized that all hands should be on deck and no effort should be spared to ensure that we successfully implement the special agricultural processing zones in all the states that express interest in so doing.
That was Nigeria's Minister of Finance, Mr. Wale Edun. The Chairman, Chief Executive, Nigerians in Diaspora Commission, NIDCOM, Dr. Abike Dabiri-Erewa, during the business week said Nigeria's economic prosperity could be galvanized through a structured diaspora investment. She said this at a strategic meeting with an investment group, Optiva Capital Ventures, in Abuja. Voice of Nigeria's foreign affairs correspondent, Margaret Ebishi, was there and completes the story.
Receiving the delegation from Optiva Capital Partners, the chairman, Nigerians in Diaspora Commission, NIDCOM, Dr. Abike Dabiri-Erewa, expressed satisfaction as the meeting aligns with NIDCOM's core objectives, highlighting the significance of fostering a structured and symbiotic relation with the diaspora. Dr. Dabiri-Erewa expressed the importance of trust building. Dr. Dabiri-Erewa said that the collaboration between NIDCOM and Optiva Capital Partners signals a pivotal step towards harnessing the potential of Nigeria's diaspora community, fostering sustainable economic growth and strengthening ties between the diaspora and their homeland.
So we have the Diaspora Investment Summit, which comes up November every year. So we've created a platform for them to come together and see where they can invest in. Now, we are a bridge between them and their home country. Now, a key thing you touched on, which is to have a structured environment and build trust with the diaspora, I think is very important. So we're at that stage where we're building that trust and also building that structure to make investments, you know, properly structured.
The Chief Executive Officer, Optiva Capital Partners, Jane Kimemia, expressed satisfaction with NITCOM's warm engagement and promised to strategically work with the Commission to double diaspora investment opportunities while fostering new business ventures for the diaspora to reinvest in their homeland.
I think there's real need, if you look at the diaspora contribution currently and what is possible, as a country, we have not even started to utilize what that opportunity is. And the reason is because of trust, the gap between the need to invest back home. That's the space that Optiva Capital Partners will be looking into working with NITCOM on creating those investment vehicles that the Nigerians in diaspora can actually invest back home in.
Optiva Capital Partners is a prominent wealth management firm specializing in investment, immigration, investment advisory, and insurance services. While NITCOM has platforms such as the Nigerians in Diaspora Investment Summit, which serves as a linkage for diasporas to invest in various sectors of the Nigerian economy. For Voice of Nigeria, Margaret Ibishi reporting.
The African Development Bank and NMB Bank Limited Zimbabwe signed a $15 million trade finance transaction guarantee facility to unlock trade finance opportunities for Zimbabwean small and medium-sized enterprises and those in agribusiness and trade distribution value chains. African Development Bank Country Manager Munu Mubutola, during the signing which took place on 7th March at NMB headquarters in Harare, said the bank is committed to supporting the development of the private sector in Zimbabwe. Mubutola noted that it was a significant step forward in supporting the growth and competitiveness of Zimbabwean businesses. Finally, an American multinational technology conglomerate, Meta Platform, says it is collaborating with Nigeria to provide new digital economic tools that will empower content creators to earn a living within 6 months. Global President of Meta Platforms, Sir Nick Clegg, made this known after meeting with Nigeria's President Bola Tinubu at the State House in Abuja. Meta revealed that its investment in the world's most extensive subsea cable to Africa will fully come on stream in 2025 with the target of improving connectivity and resilience of digital infrastructure in Nigeria and beyond.
Our business is small business. That is, you know, small businesses, millions of them around the world, and many of them here in Nigeria use our apps and our platform to reach their customers, and that's why we have digital literacy and digital economic programs which have reached hundreds of thousands of people across Nigeria. But also, we need to make it easier for people to earn a living. If they are a creator and they are posting videos and content which people enjoy and consume on Instagram and Facebook, we need to provide them with tools so that they can monetize that, they can earn a living. And that's exactly what, as I was explaining to the President and his team, we will be doing in the weeks and months ahead. New tools will become available to creators in Nigeria between now and the summer so that they can earn a living, that they can place ads for themselves in stream or, you know, between different short-form videos.
Nigeria's Minister of Communications, Innovation and Digital Economy, Bosun Tijani, stated that the country will ensure proper use of the subsea cables for the benefit of citizens.
For the landing, I think that landing came in December. We were hoping, and I still think it's the fastest of the landing of submarine cables in Nigeria. It landed in Lagos and Uyo. As we know, last week there was a cut in submarine cable, so you can see why this landing is important. And the president was quite clear about supporting businesses like Meta that are investing in infrastructure to deepen our digital economy. They are increasing the resilience of our digital economy by investing in submarine cables. We now need to ensure that those cables are being put to proper use for the benefit of our people.
That was Nigeria's Minister of Communications, Innovation and Digital Economy, Bosun Tijani, on the expansion of digital trade in Nigeria. And it's here we end this edition of Business Weekly. Join us same time next week for another package. Production was by Jennifer Ina. From Abuja, I'm Mazino Dixon, saying bye for now. Thank you.
authoritative choice. From the center of unity, Abuja, to the shores of the Atlantic Ocean, Lagos, this is Voice of Nigeria.
For excellent programming, news, views, and analysis of issues from an African perspective, Voice of Nigeria.
Nigeria is blessed with many languages, ethnic groups, religion and beliefs. This diversity is our strength, which should be utilized for national development. Unfortunately, Nigeria has witnessed several ethno-religious crises, which governments at all levels are making efforts to ensure peaceful coexistence in the country. There are also non-governmental organizations working for peaceful coexistence in Nigeria. Welcome to Issues, a quarter hour program with spotlight on current happenings in Nigeria. And on this edition, focus is on the effort of non-governmental organizations in the promotion of freedom of religion or beliefs in Nigeria. We are reaching you from Voice of Nigeria. Stay tuned. My name is Yahaya Ndambabu. Peaceful coexistence is the panacea for national development. This is why the Nigerian government is leaving no stone unturned to ensure that we have peace in the country. In the studio with me today, I have guests from a non-governmental organization called Search for Common Ground. The organization has a project known as Freedom of Religion or Beliefs, which they've been carrying out in Nigeria for a very long time. And today, they are here in the studio to discuss with us on the journey so far about the project. I have with me Katlong Dasat. Katlong Dasat is the senior media officer for Search for Common Ground. You're welcome to our studio.
Thank you very much, Yahaya, for having me in the studio today.
On my left-hand side, I have Mr. Daniel Ogabela. Mr. Daniel Ogabela is the project manager of the project Freedom of Religion or Belief in Nigeria. Welcome to the Studio Voice of Nigeria.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Okay, I think I will start with Mr. Daniel. What is this project all about?
Okay, the project is actually called Promoting and Protecting Freedom of Religion or Belief in Nigeria. And I don't know if you got that very well, but then the name of the project is Promoting and Protecting Freedom of Religion or Belief in Nigeria. Okay, so basically the project is aimed at empowering leaders, the stakeholders across the country to be able to prevent and address conflicts along religious lines in the country. And you'll agree with me that there's been an emerging issues around freedom of religion and belief in the country. And it is becoming a phenomenon that needs to be addressed. And that's why the project is actually aimed at addressing these issues around freedom of religion and belief. So basically, the project is to provide. We have three major strategic objectives that we're looking at for the project. One is to create an early warning and early response, because if it is detected early, response will be provided and it can be averted. And then the second one is the issues around poor support systems for people who are violated along religious lines. Mm-hmm. Now, oftentimes when people are violated, they don't even know where to go to. Is it the National Human Rights Commission we're going to be going to? Or do we go to our local community leaders? Or we just leave with it? People don't really know where to go to. So the project has some form of support for people who are violated along those lines.
Victims of
Freedom of religion and belief. Okay, so providing the support. And then the third one is creating awareness, working with media houses like the Voice of Nigeria and other media establishments all around the country to create more awareness around freedom of religion and belief. People have the right to practice their religion or their belief in whatever level they want to practice it, but not to infringe on other people's rights, okay? So basically, that's what the project is looking at those three strategic objectives.
Okay, and that will now take me to Ms. Catlong. So as the media officer, so far, how have you gone so far in terms of sensitization? Sensitization. How many Nigerians are aware of this project?
Well, as Daniel said earlier, part of the stakeholders that we work with are the media, and basically one approach we have used is to build the capacity of certain journalists in the country so that they understand sensitive reporting. Because if they get the context of how better to report some of these issues, then it will reduce some of these the escalation, mm-hmm. and then it will also create more awareness. We also work with social media influencers who also cut across the different geopolitical zones in Nigeria. And these social media influencers have been trained on conflict-sensitive reportage too. And then you also understand how to create content around within the framework of religion or belief to help sensitize people, create more awareness, and also push out messages promoting tolerance and peaceful coexistence in Nigeria. So I'd say that so far so good. We've had great partnership with the media, and at least we now have mentions on radio. We all have people also reaching out to us, like you have, to help also put out the word to people out there to understand that this exists, and then as a people we can come together and curb it or reduce the violations and also save lives. I think what it is for us is to see that no life is lost again because of lack of awareness, and then you understand the need to mutually respect people and what they value. With all this, you see that society gets better.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Daniel, from the project you have been carrying out so far, what can you say is the major cause of violence emanating from religion or belief? Or should I say conflict emanating from religious or belief system in Nigeria?
Okay, from my simple study and looking at it from the sociological perspective, there's this word called pluralism. Pluralism is a concept that promotes acceptance. You are a Muslim. I respect and accept you as a Muslim. I'm a Christian. You respect me and accept me as a Christian. Okay, so the lack of understanding of this word pluralism. Oh, Jesus is Lord. Pluralism. The lack of understanding of this concept is what is causing the problem. Now, I have Muslim friends. I've gotten to a point where I am very confident around my Muslim friends. When it's prayer time, I'm the one that is telling, "Guy, you need to go pray." Okay, and they are like, "Oh, sorry, I won't pray for this time around. I'll pray the next time, and then I know that yes, he has to atone. He has to do something to make up." Okay, that is the understanding that we're trying to get to, where people begin to relate with people on the grounds of acceptance. I don't like that word tolerance, because I can tolerate you to some point, you know, and maybe when my elastic limit gets to that point, that means I can blow on you. But when I accept you for who you are, then cop. Okay, that is the understanding that we're trying to get to, where people begin to relate with people on the grounds of acceptance. I don't like that word tolerance, because I can tolerate it to some point, you know, and maybe when my elastic limit gets to that point, that means I can blow on you. But when I accept you for who you are, then we're going all the way. I accept you because you are you, and you accept me for who I am. Now, and that's where the problem is coming from. Okay. Majorly.
Can we, is it possible that in a considering the religious differences and even cultural differences in Nigeria, is it possible to have a common ground among the religion and belief in Nigeria? Is it possible?
I bet you were going there, actually.
How?
I'd like to add that. So basically, so if you look at Nigeria, two religions are recognized. That's Christianity and Islam. Traditional beliefs, but then I'd say that, like, basically, when you just say the word religion, the first thing that comes to mind is either Christianity or Islam. But mind you, we have the African traditional religion, and then we also have other religions that have come in, like Judaism, Buddhism, and all sorts, different religions. And then there are different beliefs too. There are people that are even agnostic. There are people that are atheists and all that. Now, when it comes to acceptance, it is now looking at there needs to be more education for people to understand that if they see the human first in the next person, then the need to respect comes in. So, for instance, now, if I come into your house, I don't see you going to your house wearing shoes. It's only, like, logical for me to know that this man doesn't enter his house with shoes. So I should take off my shoes when I'm going into his house. Even if when I go to my house, I go in with my shoes. Even if I sleep on my bed with my shoes, if I go to a house where their culture, their tradition, their value says you have to wash your hand and maybe rub it on your jean or your wrapper before you eat, then I should respect it, even if it's not something I understand.
Okay. We're in an era where fake news is trending.
Yeah.
And in fact, some of those ethno-religious crises, some people even link it to fake news.
Mm-hmm.
How have you been fighting this? How do we fact check?
So basically, as part of what we do is we try to make sure, in search for common ground, is that we use social listening tools to track conversations linked to hate speech or some things that may be triggers that serve as early warning signs. And we also do offline tracking. This we do through the major stakeholders we have all around the country. So, for example, now I've been talking, Search for Common Ground is very big on collaboration. Because of this project, we have collaboration with National Human Rights, the police, the NSCDC, Legal Aid Council, Institute for Conflict and Peace Resolution, and the likes.
There is this misinformation.
Misinformation,
which,
yeah.
Which not even the social media, even the traditional media at times, like the print media.
Yes.
They give you headlines.
Like media generally give. So we call them sentimental headlines. So basically, as I said earlier, before we even started with the journalists that we work with, we had a training session where we built their capacity to understand dividers, to understand sensitive news connectors, to understand the sensitive headlines and the trick and what they can do to be able to tell the triggers and all that. And then we got to a point where they have taken it upon themselves to educate other journalists and other people around them on the need not to sentimentalize their headlines just to sell news, but because they have to be sensitive and tie their news around nation building.
Well, dear listener, this is where we come to the end of today's edition of Issues, where focus has been on the promotion of freedom of religion or beliefs in Nigeria. For observations, comments, and suggestions, write to the producer, Issues, Voice of Nigeria, Broadcasting House,
PMB 40003, Falomo Ikoyi, Lagos, Nigeria. You can also email us at EnglishProducers@gmail.com. The program was produced by Yahya Ndambabu. And on the audio console is Sandra Okon. Bye for now.
We are committed to the unity of our great country, Nigeria.
A rhythm of love from Nigeria, the country that defines the future of Africa. Voice of Nigeria, your authoritative choice. From the center of unity, Abuja, to the shores of the Atlantic Ocean, Lagos, this is Voice of Nigeria.
Welcome to this week's edition of The Villa. In this program, we review major events that took place in the past week at the Presidential Villa, Nigeria's seat of power. In this edition, President Tinubu declares Nigeria's readiness to lead Africa in digital technology. Nigeria's president announces befitting burials for fallen military heroes in Okuama killings. And Nigerian government restates commitment to clean energy transition. Details of these and more will come your way in this edition of The Villa. My name is Temitope Mustafa. You're welcome. Nigeria's President Bola Ahmed Tinubu has declared Nigeria's readiness to lead the African continent in digital technology. The president has also said that his administration is opening up channels of opportunities in information and communications technology to deepen capacity and foster partnerships. The Nigerian leader made these declarations when he received a delegation from Meta Platforms Incorporated, led by Sir Nick Clegg, former UK Deputy Prime Minister and Meta's President of Global Affairs, at the State House in Abuja on Thursday. President Tinubu also said that Nigeria cannot be left behind in this age of technological advancement. Hence, its efforts to sustain investment in digital technology to enhance the sustainability of small businesses, expand opportunities across sectors. He added that this will propel Nigeria to become the repository of information and communications technology in Africa, in view of his administration's 3MTT program, which is training 3 million Nigerian youths in digital technology and essential skills before deploying them to innovation hubs across the nation. The president emphasized that Nigerian youths are the most critical asset in Nigeria's arsenal as it moves to achieve digital economic expansion. Still on Meta Platforms, cut a visit on President Tinubu. The American multinational technology conglomerate Meta Platforms says it is partnering with the Nigerian government to make available in 6 months new digital economic tools that will further empower content creators. Meta also said its investment in the world's most extensive subsea cable to Africa will fully come on stream in 2025 with the targets of improving connectivity and resilience of digital infrastructure in Nigeria and beyond. Global President of Meta Platforms, Sir Nick Clegg, made this known on Thursday after meeting with Nigeria's President Bola Tinubu at the State House Abuja. Speaking on using technology to drive development in Nigeria, Clegg said that the Meta Platform Digital Economic Programs fit into President Tinubu's digital economy vision. Hence, the AI features of the Meta services are currently undergoing reforms to suit the Nigerian users.
Business is small business. That is, you know, small businesses, millions of them around the world, and many of them here in Nigeria use our apps and our platform to reach their customers, and that's why we have digital literacy and digital economic programs which have reached hundreds of thousands of people across Nigeria. But also, we need to make it easier for people to earn a living. If they are a creator and they are posting videos and content which people enjoy and consume on.
Earlier in his remarks, Sir Clerk thanked the president for an executive order he issued which enabled the landing of the Meta-backed deep-sea cable in Nigeria.
I've discussed with the minister and with the president whether it's how to enhance connectivity, the connections. Without the infrastructure, people can't use these technologies, which is why we've invested so much in by far the world's most powerful and extensive subsea cable to Africa, with two landing points here in Nigeria, which wouldn't have happened without the help of the president and his team.
Nigeria's Minister of Communications, Innovation and Digital Economy, Bosun Tijani, said that Nigeria will ensure proper use of the subsea cables for the benefit of Nigerians.
They are increasing the resilience of our digital economy by investing in submarine cables. We now need to ensure that those cables are being put to proper use for the benefit of our people.
President Bola Ahmed Tinubu has announced that the 16 officers and men of the armed forces killed in Okuoma community of Delta State will be given a befitting burial and national honors. The president made this known during the breaking of Ramadan fast on Wednesday in Abuja with the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Tajuddin Abbas, and the leadership of the House. President Tinubu, while expressing his heartfelt condolences to the families of the bereaved, pledged that the sacrifices of the fallen heroes would never be in vain. You recall that the defense headquarters on Monday night made known the identities of the Nigerian Army Battalion, two majors, one captain, and 12 soldiers killed by attackers in Okuoma community of Delta State in South Nigeria on the 14th of March 2024. The leader of the ruling political party in Nigeria, President Bola Ahmed Tinubu, has presented the All Progressives Congress Party's flag to Senator Monday Okpebolo and his running mate Dennisi Dausa, assuring them of his support in the November 21st off-season governorship election in Edo State. President Tinubu gave the assurance on Monday while addressing a gathering of party stalwarts led by the national chairman of the APC, Dr. Abdullahi Ganduje, at the State House, Abuja. The president has also said that the party is on the path to victory in the forthcoming gubernatorial election in Edo State. Addressing a gathering of party stalwarts led by the national chairman of the APC, Dr. Abdullahi Ganduje, at the State House, the president pledged that the party would stand by the candidate. The president also commended the leadership of the party in Edo State for their effort towards the success of the candidate and the party.
Distinguished Senator and our flag bearer, we are putting you forward to be able to hold the party in trust for us and get a victory for us. The same thing with Honorable. You're running me. You've been described as giant killers, and you work hard with the party leadership to achieve a reputation of defeating those seems impossible if victories for us.
Also, the administration of President Bola Ahmed Tinubu has crossed the Rubicon of trials, and the nation is now on its path to sustain growth. Vice President Kashim Shettima stated this on Tuesday during the second series of the Breaking of Ramadan Fast Iftar program hosted by President Tinubu at the State House Abuja. Shettima also told ministers and service chiefs present at the Iftar program that now is the best time to give the best of their support to the president.
This is the time for all of us to rally around our leader. We have called the Rubicon, and the nation is on a path to sustain. Some nations have gone through war stages in the annals of their history and acts.
V Vice President Shettima added that Nigeria will surmount the present challenges facing the nation, just as some other nations had survived worst issues in the annals of their history.
Let's keep each other in prayers. Let's pray for the restoration of peace and stability in the country. Luckily, the economy is turning in the corner. By the grace of God, in the coming months, we shall have a bountiful harvest season, and we shall all smile once again.
Speaking on behalf of the ministers and others in attendance, the Attorney General of the Federation and the Minister of Justice, Latif Fagbemi, said the ministers appreciate the thoughtfulness of the president.
About the chief of the nation, may he continually help you and all of us to set the chief of the nation to the shore of success, that he more than appreciates your gesture, your thoughtfulness, and your generosity.
First Lady Olureme Tinubu says the current administration under the leadership of President Bola Ahmed Tinubu will continue to accord education the prominence it deserves. She adds that education is very vital for the development of the nation. Thus, all children must attain good education. She made a declaration at the flag off of the distribution of exercise books to public primary school pupils and junior secondary school students across the nation. The event took place on Friday at the headquarters of the Police Officers' Wives Association, Abuja. The exercise, which is under the education program of our PET project, the Renewed Hope Initiative, which will give each state of the federation 50,000 exercise books, while Kano and Lagos State will get 100,000 exercise books due to their population. You are listening to The Villa, Voice of Nigeria's program that reviews major activities that took place within the week at the Presidential Villa, the seat of power in Nigeria. Still to come, Nigerian government restates commitments to clean energy transition. Vice President Shettima noted that the event marks a significant milestone and will boost the country's energy transition journey and an affirmation of President Bola Tinubu's administration's resolve to embrace clean and renewable energy solutions.
As a nation, our resolve is to take proactive steps to diversify our energy sources, reduce our carbon footprints, and ensure a more sustainable future for generations to come. And this is a very pioneering project in terms of hybridizing power in solar and hydro. And I believe that...
The Vice President also commended the vision, innovation, and commitment of the NSIA for the project, noting that it is commendable as such strategic partnerships will create opportunities for economic growth and technological advancement while simultaneously addressing the urgent need for clean and accessible energy, implored the Nigerian Electricity Regulatory Commission, NERC, Nigeria Bulk Electricity Trading, Transmission Company of Nigeria, Bank of Industry, and all other relevant stakeholders in the project to ensure that they collaborate effectively with its sponsors to guarantee the timely delivery of the project.
That they collaborate effectively with the sponsors to guarantee the timely delivery and operation of this project.
The Minister of Power, Mr. Adebayo Adelabu, said the initiative aligns with the critical priorities of his ministry in terms of striving to increase energy output and also diversifying into renewable energy.
The Minister of Power is fully committed to empowering Nigeria by ensuring reliable and accessible power for every household, businesses, schools, hospitals, and industries. So the federal government of Nigeria remains focused.
With that, we have come to the end of this edition of The Villa. Please join us next week for another edition. The program was brought to you by Temitope Mustafa. Thank you for being part of it.
We are committed to the unity of our great country, Nigeria.
Let us support our armed forces.
Let us. Mustafa, thank you for being part of it.
We'll be right back. We are committed to the unity of our great country, Nigeria.
Let us support our armed forces. Let us stand together with them. Let us stand for them.
Our symbol of unity.
The gallant men of our life.
Yes, our strength.
Is our diversity.
Let us stand by, stand with, and support our armed forces to keep this nation together.
Nigeria is my own. Nigeria is your own. Nigeria is our own.
A rhythm of love from Nigeria, the country that defines the future of Africa.